we'll finish this up tonight. When you look at Titus chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, Titus there says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith." I think I'm on the wrong one here. 1 in verse 2. We've got to flip a page back. Sorry about that. "Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." So this idea of eternal life was God's purpose before Adam and Eve or anything concerning creation was ever created. And what old Solomon had in mind was the oversight, knowing that we went through the patriarchal age, the Mosaic age, and now we're studying the Christian dispensation as far as that from Acts chapter 14 and verse 23. This was God's plan. When his son came, he died upon the cross, and the church was established in Acts chapter 2, that they would eventually be oversight to guide his people from there on out. We know from the oversight of the patriarchal age that some kept it, some didn't, the Mosaic age likewise. And even then, when you study the New Testament, you have those churches whose oversight was not up to par. When you look at Revelation chapter 2 and 3, and you can look at the, Paul's epistles of all the false teaching that was going on, which should have been under the oversight of the elders to take care of that. But we see that that's going on. When you look in Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Jeremiah there says, "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastures according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." And so that was a duty of the elders today. They were to be fed with God's word concerning those that they are pastoring over, they're on the pastures. And so when you look at Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, again, just back up to verse 22, "confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained or appointed elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed." And again, not only that, as far as the makeup of the church to be a total church, not only involved the elders, it also involved the deacons who were to work under the elders. The elders was the spiritual leaders. The deacons would more or less supply a lot of physical things that needed to be done. But when you look at the qualifications, as we'll get to later, there's not a whole lot of difference in them. And what I come to understand was the deacons just wasn't hardly as knowledgeable as an elder, but it would be something they were striving for. And so when you look, elders, we get them here, we need, it's just something that needs to keep going. The church here needs to never be without elders. That we start training our children, we start training the young ones concerning that, that they grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So you have to have knowledge, you have to know something about God's word and how to defend it. So 14:23 of Acts is a fulfillment of the church age after the great shepherd Christ had ascended back to the Father. But he did not leave his kingdom here on earth again without oversight. Because we need oversight today. If we don't have those who are spiritually mature to help us grow, then we'll never grow. In Micah chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, Micah there says, "But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountains of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come." When you look at Acts chapter 2, I think Donnie's touched on this several times. It's dealing with there was people from all nations there on the day of Pentecost, on that day. "And come, say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the Lord of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. We will walk in his paths, And the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So we're to be taught his ways. Again, the responsibility of elders to teach. And as we grow and become more mature, we also should be teaching. It's left up, we're not much out, but as far as I got some material product to get with next year on that, but it's left up to the fathers to teach the homes. That's where it begins. But they've got to teach their children as far as what truth is, what they need to do, but also they're under the oversight of the elders. In Acts chapter 2, it begins the fulfillment of Micah's prophecy. This is when God's oversight for the kingdom would be set up. We know it wouldn't set up on the day of Pentecost, but sometime later. And I have difficulty when we talk about that Paul and Barnabas set up elders in every city or every church, or that was involved in every church at that time in different parts of the world. Because I don't believe that Paul and Barnabas preached in every church in all the world at that time. Anybody got any thoughts on that?
So you mean by the time of Acts chapter 14?
In verse 23, it talks about Paul and Barnabas ordained elders in every city or every church. Would it be just to those they went to, or would it involve all of them? I don't know.
I believe it would have been sealed because of the statement when it says that they went back through confirming the souls of the brethren. In other words, that they were revisiting those congregations that they went to on their way to, and then they went back and revisited.
Yeah, I understood that, but just what about the ones that was elsewhere in the world, they didn't go, where they didn't make the travels. I don't know. Good point, though, Don. But yeah, they set up the eldership there. And again, the elders, they would feed the sheep with knowledge and understanding about his statutes, God's statutes and laws. Their responsibility would be of a spiritual nature and not that of a physical nature. And we make the applications all along that most churches today deal with the physical aspect of worship. It's something that they want to do that they bring in to satisfy them. But we want to look at what God's Word says about the responsibilities, qualifications, and character of those to whom he left the oversight of the kingdom too. Is God's pattern being followed today in the religious world? And the answer to that is no. His pattern is very plain and easily understood. So let's examine God's word on this issue and see if those of the religious world are following this pattern. We're all familiar with denominationalism. You have your popes, whatever it is. You have your pastor, singular, as a single pastor. You have women, pastor, single. And so when you look at the qualifications, see how these fit. Because this is God's pattern of how his church, his people are to be established today. There are four words, I know Donnie's touched on this too, used in the New Testament, which describe this position in the kingdom. One, the first one, is an overseer. In 1 Peter 5, verse 2, Peter there, in his writing, verse 1, the elders which are among you I exhort, Peter says, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight, which is the same thing as verse 1, as an elder. They will tell the elders to take the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Again, you're not being forced into taking something, okay? It's something that you accept freely, that position. Whoever it is.
I just want to tell you, my Bible, the New King James says, shepherd the flock. Serving as overseers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In Acts 20, and verse 28, there may be more verses than these concerning the word oversight. I just had the two listed. Paul there says to the elders, that came from Ephesus. Take heed therefore unto yourself, to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. And the only way that you're going to feed the flock spiritually is knowing God's word. If you don't know that, then you don't need to be an elder. And so we went through as far as the elder. When you go back to Acts chapter 20 and verse 17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. In what we verse we just read, he calls them overseers. So you can see it's basically it's the same thing there on that. In Titus 1 in verse 5, Titus there says, for this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest sit in order the things which are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed them. Again, this idea, I sent you there for what? There's something wanting, or there's something lacking in the church there. The same as it is here. There's something lacking right now in this church, and it's elders. So he appointed those that those things that were lacking would be taken care of. Brothers and sisters, that's what we need to take care of here. And I mean, as soon as we can. To do away with men's business meetings and nothing getting accomplished, mainly in them. We need the oversight of elders. Right now, to me, we've got four or five very good brethren that would make good elders. And we got brethren here that would make good deacons. And we're not pleasing God that nobody's accepting this responsibility. You think God is pleased with the church here? We have people that can do that job that God said, I want done, that's my pattern, and we don't do it? We're just deceiving ourselves. God's not pleased with us. Because we have the brethren here that can fill those two positions. Bishop. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 1. Father says, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. When you look back at Titus 1 and verse 7, for a bishop must be blameless. Before that, in verse 6, he called them elders. In this verse, he's called them bishops, which is the same word that we have. Then the last one, a presbytery. A presbytery ain't nothing more than a body of elders. Two or more, a body of elders. It ain't one, but it's two or more. That's all the word presbytery means. You have presbytery, you have a body of elders in that church. That's all that particularly means. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 14. Father says, neglect not the gift, talk to Timothy, that is in thee, which was given thee, and by prophecy with the laying hands of the hands of a presbytery. And so you have those four words that basically all mean the same thing, just the same position, just different words being used. These terms are not referring to four, like I say, four different positions in the kingdom, but the one position, that is the oversight, that those four words are used. The overseer, bishop, and presbyter all come from the same Greek word, these three words. Overseer, bishop, presbyter, from the Greek word, and I'll spell it because I can't pronounce it, episkopoi. Those three words there. The Greek word for elder is presbyteros, which means they have spiritual maturity, is all that word means. And that's what God desires for an elder, is those that have spiritual maturity. And that's what the Greek word for what it means there is being a spiritual maturity or experience. And so that implies to me, according to W.E. Vines, that there's been a growth, more growth in some than others that can fill that position. 1 Peter 2 and verse 25. Concerning Christ. For you were a sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. Again, this is referring to Christ. And the overseer here is referring to his position. Christ was the overseer while he was on earth. The apostles later became the oversight. It was passed down through spiritual gifts, the laying on of hands of others, until 1 Corinthians talked about when that which is perfect has come, everything will be done away with. At that time, everything was set in place as far as concerning the church, the oversight of the elders and the deacons. So shepherd or pastor describes the same responsibility we've been talking about. When Christ ascended back to heaven, he appointed spiritual leaders over his church, the flock. Acts 20 and verse 17. Well, we done read that, but Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. In Acts 20 and 28, we read, there he admonishes the elders, and here's the elder again, what there is required of them. Take heed to yourself, to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to shepherd, pastor the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Here describing their position and their responsibility. So those in position must accept that responsibility and carry it out according to God's pattern. Any questions anybody have? You want to add? We look at the qualifications. First Timothy 3, verses 1 through 7. Ray, would you read that?
Trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? And not a new convert, so that he will not become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. And he must have a good reputation of those outside the church, so that he will not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil.
All right. Did someone, Judy, if you will, read Titus 1, verses 5 through 9.
Reason I left you in Crete that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Namely, if any man is beyond reproach, the husband of one wife, having children who believe, not accused of indecent behavior or rebellion. For the overseer must be beyond reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not overindulging in wine, not a bully, not greedy for money, but hospitable, loving what is good, self-controlled, righteous, holy, disciplined, holding firmly the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict it.
All right, in writing this, Paul talked about, I left thee in Crete, but thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. What was wanting? Well, context comes after that. He's referring to how, what? Elders. They had no elders. Same as us. And Paul says there's something lacking, there's something needed there that needs to be taken care of. And I submit, brother, that's what we need to do here. A lot of us are familiar with denominationalism. I know we are. Denominations today claim to follow God's word in everything. If you're in a denomination, turn and read those qualifications that the Holy Spirit revealed that must be met. And does the denominational preacher possess these qualifications? Well, you see, pastors without kids. You see pastors single. You see a pastor, his wife is pastor. That's not, was not God's pattern. God gave us a pattern. This is what you must do. Qualification one, well, one, first of all, you must be a man, not a woman. The husband of one wife, you can't be single. And there's a lot of single preachers out there today that may have been in the oversight. Must have children. You can't be childless. What would be the purpose of having children in your home concerning the eldership?
Like I said, just it shows it's a proof that whether somebody can manage their household well, do they teach their kids? I mean, all those kind of things.
If those kids, as you say, are in obedience to the father, the head of the house, likewise, the church is in subjection to the elders. Yeah, do you have something, Bernice?
I was going to say, don't forget discipline.
Discipline.
The church has to have discipline.
And it's in the home. You learn that at home. Yes. Children are disciplined at home. And the home is lacking today. It's like the church in discipline. You have some of the wildest kids you've ever seen today that cuss you out, say everything in the world to you, and go on. And discipline is lacking in the home.
I think 1 Timothy 3:5, which we read, is probably the best context on that. For if a man not know how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? I mean, that's directly qualifications right there, explaining why the man needs to have raise children.
Evidently, there's a connection in ruling your house well and ruling the church well. There has to be a connection there somewhere. And a lot of it falls under the discipline aspect to it, the raising that your children know what God's word says. It falls under the eldership. And so you have all this. Must be material.
It brings out the love that you have for your children. It's not an easy thing to have to discipline your children sometimes, but if you have enough love and your heart is right and you seek this position, that's a similarity that's there. If discipline is required, that you would do that out of love for them.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, if you don't discipline whip them, you're not showing love.
Exactly.
I know growing up with Dad, I thought long times didn't like me a whole lot. But I learned as I got older why he done that.
Yeah.
And I know on my kids, that's hard, because I learned from Dad, and hopefully they turn out good too.
To dig a little bit deeper on that one, and you may already have this in your studies as well, but is there any point when it comes to the children, for that fact, that on the topic that we're talking about, as far as having obedient children, are they no longer technically children once they marry off? Is there any additional studies?
Once they marry off, they're in another home, separate apart from you. They're gone. As long as they're under your roof, they're under your rule. They start a new household themselves. If you raise kids, and they take it responsibility that their parents had. But else on that? Again, must be mature, not young, concerning spiritual matters. And this takes time. A treatment is called an elder up in life. One who rules his house well cannot do this and cannot take care of God's house. Must be blameless, temperate, sober-minded, hospitable, able to teach what? God's word. It talks about in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 6, not being a novice. Vine says they can't be a new convert. You do not qualify for an elder being a new convert. One who by inexperience is unfit to act as a bishop or overseer. Strong says newly planted. In other words, it's like you're planting a young tree. It just has started. And eventually it grows to where it produces the fruit that it should. That's Strong's definition, what I thought it was. The NLT version reads, an elder must not be a new believer because he might become proud and the devil would cause him to fall. The NIV reads, he must not be a recent convert, or he may become concealed conceited, and fall under the judgment of the devil. They must be gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. Must be a good testimony among those on the outside, those of the world, if you will. This includes all classes of people. It would include atheists, all that's in the world. He must have a good report among them. Nothing falls short that he's well spoken of from that aspect of it. He must have a reputation with them for integrity of character. In other words, he stands out to them more than a lot of people would. Holy, self-controlled, they must hold fast the word, not adding or taking from, as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort, convict those who contradict, must be able to convict those who teach false doctrine. And even in the Lord's church today, those qualifications are lacking. Denominations have digressed in what they once believed. In their writings, they once referred to men as elders, bishops, and presbyters. The writings show a plurality of men in one local, but you do not see that today. When you look at a local paper, when you read the religious section, what you see is the church and pastor single invite you. In some, you read the pastor so invites you, referring to a man or the pastor and his wife. Nowhere in God's holy word is a woman referred to as an elder who pastors a church. Nowhere in God's holy word is a man who is not married referred to as an elder who pastors a church. Nowhere in God's word says a man who is married and does not have children qualify as an elder who pastors a church. This is God's pattern. This is who he's excluding from overseeing his people. But you can see how much that is going about today. Yes?
I was just thinking something there when you was reading. You know, you was reading elders in every church then, you know, place in every church. You'd be hard-pressed to find an elder in church today, in any church of Christ, I'm saying. I mean, you'd have to go a few miles away to find one. I mean, it's how drastic we've changed from then to now. Yeah. Elders in every church are hard to find elders.
It is. That's what I'm saying. It's declined to what it was during the time of Paul and all of them, and ordained the elders there. It has. God's authority is not being upheld today on this matter by those who claim to follow the Bible. They are like those in Romans 10 and verse 3. They seek to establish their own righteousness on this matter, all the while claiming to be Christians, yet not submitting themselves to God's word. Very quickly, we've got about 5 minutes. Qualifications for deacons is found in 1 Timothy 3, verses 8 through 13, and we'll not read that. But they go along similarly with those of the elders. They must be grave, serious, respectable, not double-tongued, sincere, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, a conscience which has not been corrupted. They must first be proved. They are to be tried or tested in regard to the things which were the proper qualifications of the office. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Wise must be grave, serious, respectable, not slanderers, not false accusers. Divine states of slander means to falsely accuse, given to finding fault with the demeanor and conduct of others, and spreading criticism in the church. And brothers and sisters, that goes on a lot today in the church. And that's the reason you see the church is declining a lot. Women are starting to take over to some degree on that. Slander, accuser, devil or devilish, all in the same Greek word. The word slander, accuser, devil, or devilish are all the same Greek word. Faithful in all things, deacons, husbands, one wife, ruling their children all the way up. Number 16, we have the story about Moses and a person named Korah, and we looked at this early, maybe in the first lesson, I don't remember, which was the first cousin to Moses and Aaron. Korah, being a Levite, was to help take care of the tabernacle. This was a Levite's responsibility. When you look at Number 16, verse 3, verses 8 through 10. But in verse 10, Moses asked Korah this question: are you seeking the priesthood also? In other words, Korah was not satisfied with what he had as far as him being a Levite and working the tabernacle as far as all that. Do you want it all? And so today, individuals want it all. Elders, they want to be one chief elder that rules over the others instead of working together. Leaders today want all authority in the church, the power, the prestige, and all that goes along with being in that position. Paul refers to such a person in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself with all that is called God. In other words, he just simply is not going to follow God's pattern concerning an elder, what an elder should do. Again, God has a pattern. He always has. Spiritual gifts were set in place in the early beginning of the church for a reason. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 8, 27 through 31. In verse 31, Paul there writes, a more perfect way. When all these spiritual gifts are done away with, there's a more perfect way that's going to be shown. We have it in this New Testament there. When this was purpose was served, again, all these spiritual gifts all ceased and all become back to norm that we enjoy today. Any questions, anything I'm going to say?